My spidey senses tell me this is gonna get fucking tasty, baby.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
You can't handle the truth.
Fuck you, Deputy Stike. Fuck you.
You are a liar. You are a self-confessed liar.
If you stop waffling, we might get some work done.
Where'd you get these two guys from?
Would you like a sweetie?
Arnie, cut! Get out! Get out, man! You ain't that!
Smith, touch, what a touch! Manny Smith!
A touch! He scores! Another one for Stanarski!
That is back up!
For me, looking at that video, that cat hadn't done anything wrong.
I'm going to Puerto Rico to kick your ass.
Shut up, you fucking dick.
And that's the bottom line. Cause Stone Cold Sexo.
Hello, welcome to another edition of the OnlyFans Football Podcast. Kieran, Season 3, Episode 17. I'm correct this week because we have it right in front of us. Kieran, Episode 17. We have a few options to name the episode, I suppose. The Damien Priest. Not a real priest. The Xabi Alonso, after winning the Bundesliga, mit Bayer Leverkusen 0-4. Or the Cole Palmer, which is, I don't think we've named an episode after Palmer so far this season, in ode to this magnificent performance that we're currently looking at now.
And two hat-tricks in two Premier League games, is it?
Two straight home Premier League games, is it? One against Man United.
Yeah.
And one here. We're looking at the first goal here, Kieran. Do you want to talk straight?
Flicks it to Jackson. Jackson flicks it back. It's beautiful.
Nutmegs. Rantway in the process as well. And first time finish, I suppose it's a good place to start because we're literally watching the game. Chelsea, Kieran, I suppose this is a big week for them after beating Man United last week.
Well, I'm going to touch wood and say this is a win. 4-0 up at half time.
If Everton win this, we're selling the podcast.
This is going to be it. Go down as a good result and maybe make up some ground on the top six race, we'll call it, between the rest of them. Yeah.
The second goal here is another good goal for another reason. It's good position from him. He follows the ball in. Jackson has a shot saved by Pickford. And here's the third goal now. Pickford, I actually have no idea what
just passes it straight to him.
Passes it to Palmer. I think he's trying to play it to Onan. And Palmer, great on his weaker right foot, lobs it over Pickford. I had a conversation the other week with Davey Rogers when I was doing the Derry game. Do footballers have bad feet? I think with professional they shouldn't.
I think, well, maybe
they do have weaker feet, I suppose.
They have pressure feet. So their foot maybe, or their weaker foot doesn't do well under pressure, depending on the person. But I don't think they do. Adam, will we get into the crux of it?
Yeah, Kieran, how are you?
Good, fantastic.
Good.
I'm very fatigued.
Yeah.
Start of a new schedule. Capitalist regime, I would call it. Going to work Monday to Friday.
Working not too fast. Dolly Parton was right.
Yeah, and it just makes you think. It does make you think. It makes you think almost, I would say, conspiratorial thoughts.
Right.
Are
you okay?
Just on the 9-to-5 basis, Adam. Just the daily struggle of a
life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just makes you think a lot more, I think.
Well,
rush hour traffic is not a myth, by the way.
Oh my god. We've been sat here looking at our Acast account, which is an account in which we upload the podcast on. And
shout out Acast.
Not shout out Acast.
What?
Yeah. I think the last time we recorded in this space, so we're in Kieran's studio tonight, was episode 14 of Virgil van Dijk, which was the back end of February.
Yeah.
Which is a bit of a mad one.
We haven't seen much of each other, Adam. Isn't that mad?
I know, and it feels great and bad all at once, doesn't it? We were literally on holiday with each other in March as well, when you think about it, which is crazy. Life comes at you fast.
Maybe it's all coming to an end. Who knows?
Yeah, it could be. Who knows? Other than that, Kieran. Other than that, Kieran, how's the form?
Good, chilling, playing more golf, not seeing lots of football now. This is sort of my season where I switch off football, which isn't good, and because it's the end of the season.
It probably coincides with and this isn't a dig, but Chelsea kind of not being, obviously they're in the semi-final the weekend, but yeah, not, I suppose, in the league, not having much to play for.
I mean, that's been the last 5 years though, Adam. I've switched off.
Such an oversight.
I switched off the telly early in the season. But yeah, how was your dazzling weekend at WrestleMania?
Oh, man. So I want to apologise first of all, because I did say on multiple podcasts that me and Dave would record when we were over there. But what I will say is we recorded some in the airport, so keep an eye out for our best bits come the end of the season. Kieran has a few bits that are quite hilarious lined up that haven't obviously made it there, thankfully, just yet. So we're going to throw that in the best bits episode come the end of the season. But we didn't record a whole lot because it was very much a case of like just enjoying it for what it was. It was very Hulk Hogan, very Americana. Yeah, it was one of the best weekends of my life, man. Honest to God, yeah, it was really enjoyable.
You let the people down, Adam. I was expecting 3 interviews and all.
With, yeah.
Rowdy Americans.
Do you know what, right? There was a part on boat nights when we were coming home where we were queuing for a subway to get back into the city centre. And we were around 1,000,001 people, like, because it was packed. It was like coming home from an Ireland match. You've seen what the Dart is like, whatever. Obviously on a much larger scale. And I was thinking to myself, if it hadn't been me and you here, we'd have started chatting. And we'd have ended up chatting to randomers. Because there was that many people around that you'd be like, would chat. And God bless wrestling fans. We are a big, massive group of losers. Enthusiastic losers is how I describe it. And the end of the first night particularly...
Losers that are winning.
Yeah, there you go. The end of the first night didn't end how, I suppose, the casual fan would want to. Like, the bad guy lost. Or sorry, the bad guy won. The Rock was the bad guy. And, like, spirits were very low getting onto the subway. Like, people were, like, near on depressed. And then the second night rolls around, obviously, Cody Rhodes wins in the end. That was the big main event. But the big feel-good story. So, yeah, it ended the way it should have been. It should have ended. But yeah, it was just a great weekend. Yeah, it was bucket list stuff.
Undertaker enters the ring as well.
Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah. So there was like a big, I know, schmoz at the end of the main event where The Rock comes out and then John Cena came out. And it was just like one thing after another. And then obviously Undertaker comes out. Yeah, it was fucking mad, man. It was genuinely like
fresh from the gym as well, but it looks like,
yeah, well, he looked alright. I don't think he'd be able to wrestle again now, but he definitely looked like in good shape. The highlight of night, Kieran, for me though, and this is why we're thinking of calling it Damien Priest, not a real priest, was Damien Priest cashed in. Do you know what that means, Kieran?
The money in the bank. So. I don't understand the nuances. I seen the clip. Yeah. Of him saying, "I'm cashing in," and then he walks back in the ring and just pins your man. I'm like, "What's going on here?"
So
like,
essentially, the Money in the Bank contract grants you the opportunity to have a match with a world champion at any given point. Yeah. So, like, as part of the realist in me, I don't know why you wouldn't just go to someone's house and cash it in there. Obviously, it must be in the rules that you can't.
Yeah.
But imagine me turning up at your house with a Money in the Bank contract, beating the shit out of you, and just having a referee here.
And screaming, "I'm cashing in!"
And I suppose you would need a camera crew. I suppose I'm probably having the wrong here. But yeah, so basically, the Money in the Bank contract, you win it in a ladder match, it grants you a world title opportunity at any given point. So the opportunity here was from Drew McIntyre beat Seth Rollins. He then, the story actually is quite nuanced, actually is quite good. So the whole story going into WrestleMania was Seth Rollins was concerned about The Rock. Mm. So Drew McIntyre said, "Well, I'll beat the shit out of you and I'll take your title because you're more concerned with The Rock." Where in actual fact, Drew McIntyre is more concerned with CM Punk, who was sat ringside, and that's how he ends up losing his title. So they both were very short-sighted. Punk starts beating the shit out of McIntyre. Priest comes out. At this point, me and Dave were losing our shit.
Yeah.
I'm not ashamed to admit, it was like, I described it to one of the lads in work who's 40, he's a Bowls fan, also a wrestling fan, O'Sheen, you know O'Sheen?
I love O'Sheen.
And
legend.
O'Sheen was like what it was like, and I was like, man, the only thing I can describe, like, it was like Liverpool scoring last minute winner, and you're in Anfield, or Shells against, I don't know, Rovers, and like, it was just, you just, all hell broke loose. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
The music hits, he's running down the ramp. The obviously, we can't hear the commentary, but if you're watching at home, the commentary's like, "Oh my God, what is going on here?" And then obviously, he catches in, 1, 2, 3, new champ again. It was fucking great, man. It was Damien Priest, not a real priest, catching in the WrestleMania was my highlight. And it's funny because we've talked about him before on the podcast.
So let me get this straight. He cashed in and then straight away won the title.
Yeah, because that was his match. That was his opportunity to cash in.
Right. But it's not going to happen in the future date, like you said.
No. The point being is you can cash in at any point.
Right.
So the idea is you cash in on someone who's badly injured. And that's how you win. So it's an easy win.
Right.
Whereas, like, Damian Priest is a heel. And in wrestling, that means he's a bad guy. So that's why he cashed in on an injured Seth, or an injured Drew McIntyre. Whereas, like, people in the past, like, John Cena's won Money in the Bank before. And he cashed in and scheduled his match.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Okay, so it was a bit of a backstab sort of move.
It was like, it's something that a bad guy would do.
Right. So that's why you liked it.
That's why I liked it. Because I'm the true bad guy.
You're miserable.
I'm a miserable fucker. that was why I liked it. And obviously The Undertaker.
We should do a Wrestling for Dummies podcast. That'd be good.
Man, it'd be fucking. It would actually probably be fucking hilarious.
Me, you asking you questions.
And me explaining to you and trying to, like, put it into some kind of context that you understand would be. It'd be something. I don't know if it'd be enjoyable.
A great challenge for yourself, anyway.
It would definitely be something.
Very, I don't know, interesting few weeks of football. We've been away for quite a while now.
We have been away for quite a while.
There's been a lot of stuff happening with the title race. But things have sort of stayed the same, I would say, since we last left it. It's a three-horse race still.
It is.
Albeit City have sort of taken the onus now and have pushed on.
They've taken it without having to actually do a whole lot as well.
Yeah.
Which I think from my POV and from an Arsenal fan's point of view is quite frustrating.
Atlanta 3.
Liverpool 0.
Yeah.
A lot of things that's said about us in this podcast is we don't record when either of our teams are doing poorly. I don't know if that's been branded about us for, hasn't it?
Well, branded about you, maybe.
Bullshit, Kieran.
Yeah.
Don't make me bring up Chelsea West Ham when you bowled it.
Yeah.
And Liverpool won.
What about the other 12 times we lose every fucking week?
Yeah, but you still fucking turn up.
Yeah, I do turn up.
I turn up as well.
No, I haven't seen
you turn up. No, this is bullshit.
Yeah, this is the first time I've seen you in 3 weeks.
Sacrilege. Yeah, thankfully. I was on the other side of the world, man. It's Atalanta 3, Liverpool 0. I did not fucking see this coming in a million years. And do you know what? I think it's very ignorant of us to have that opinion. I know, Kieran, you're probably going to be contrary to me, but you probably didn't see this coming either. And again, this is we're looking at the stats here again. This is a managerial masterclass. Are you looking at this? 29% possession, 11 shots, 3 goals for Gasperini's side. A friend of the show, James Horncastle.
I thought you were about to say Gasperini, a friend of the show.
Friend of the show, James Horncastle. Was on the BT coverage after. And he was eulogising about Gasperini. And it was the best bit of analysis I've ever seen. Not ever seen on BT for a long time.
Right.
I think they need more people like him, just for what it's worth. But I said it. I don't know if I said it to you. I think I did. By far the worst performance I think I've ever seen under Klopp's Liverpool. And look, it's probably good to lead on to the weekend from this, and this is probably where the title race chat. It was a really poor game of football. I know you're watching the Masters, but Liverpool just did not turn up, and I think Gasperini there deserves all the credit in the world for how they played, for how they countered, for how they scored. I've no complaints whatsoever. It was really good for me.
Do you think you can get it back in the second leg, or was this a case where it's too much?
I wouldn't be surprised if we did, but if you're judging off how we played in this and how we played the weekend, there's not a hope.
Yeah.
But it would be a Liverpool thing to come back in the European title. Like, it's not something that we haven't done before, but I think particularly we've been very wasteful recently, and I think that started the FA Cup game on Paddy's Day, and since then it's just been a team and how we played that I don't know if the confidence has gone in the forwards or such, but even Salah since he's come back hasn't really performed.
Yeah, and you say that 2 goals post AFCON, in five games. Yeah. Is that enough output for Salah?
Well, he's been injured. That would be my only. That would be the only thing I'd say. And he's been kind of in and out of sight.
And Ramadan.
I don't know if that's a factor.
Well, it might be. Just,
Happy Eid Mubarak. Eid Mubarak to anyone who I suppose celebrates, but
who listens to that?
is there a correlation? I highly doubt it.
Liverpool 0 Palace 1, and Liverpool hadn't. I'm heard saying they hadn't lost a home game since February 2022.
Since Leeds, I think.
Yeah. And then they lose two in a row. Mad?
It's crazy because, and look, I'm not saying this in any way, shape, or form to be arrogant or anything, but going into the game on Sunday, I was just thinking, we're not going to score here. So we have to keep it out. And the Palace goal is good. It's well worked. It's not like some of the goals on Thursday against Atalanta, you'd be like, jeez, at this point, you can see that. The Palace goal was worked well. But I said to Dave when we were watching, I was like, here, look, we could be here for days and end and not score. And it was one of those games. I don't know if you've seen any of the chances. Nunes has a chance point blank. And look, if people on Twitter and such are going, oh, he has to score. To be honest with you, I'm not defending them here. I'm going to defend Jota now in a minute as well. There's not a whole lot more they can do other than what they did. Like, it's the keeper gets in the way. The same for the Jota one. I think Salah has one similar. The big one's Curtis Jones one. I don't know if you've seen that. He's running through on goal, one-on-one. And they're like, just put it back. Just put it in. He doesn't. The goal's wide. And I think that was like the 65th minute. And at that point, I was going, look, we're not scoring here. So, I feel like this thought of Klopp leaving, and a lot of people are like, oh, that'll spoil Liverpool on now to just win it all or whatever. Yeah. I think that's very good until something goes wrong and then the players are like, well, he's not here next year, so why should I give a fuck?
Yeah.
Do you know?
It's a bit like, I don't know, do you ever in work and the manager's out of work, sick, or he's on holidays?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I can do whatever I want.
Yeah.
He's on holidays. Mm. Klopp's leaving. The players might be getting a bit of going through the motion syndrome.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah, and
and I think there's an element of it as well. Like look, there's been plenty of chat of this kind of, and you hate it, and I'm starting to hate it too, of Klopp's kids. And it was great when it was great when the League Cup final we won. Everything's great when you're winning. Do you know that kind of way? And Liverpool had a lot of injuries, and it was a great story, don't get me wrong, and it'll be one that'll be celebrated for years, just with the nature of it all. But those injuries that were there then, the likes of Salah, the likes of Jota, Nunes, they're catching up on us now, because these players are coming back at this stage, and they're not fitting, they're not firing, and that's kind of the be all and end all of it. And I think one of the main points genuinely is kind of the uncertainty of it all. Like, as much as Klopp has spurred him on, and as much, like, there's something about Jurgen Klopp. He's done a lot for Liverpool in terms of the city, everything.
Jesus, I wouldn't have known.
I know he's fantastic. But there's a part of the Klopp story is being like nearly men. And it's kind of poetic in a way that if this ends how it ends, with just a League Cup and no European title and no league. That's almost the story of Klopp at Liverpool to an extent, where, like, we almost won the league. We almost won the Champions League. We could have won so much more than what we did. And again, it comes down to circumstance. You look at this great City team and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, what matters is what you win. And look, I love Jurgen Klopp. I always will. But it's kind of, I can see like a lack of motivation in some of the players at the minute. And I think that's due to the announcement. I think it only the kind of spur of motivation that him announcing leaving, I think only goes so far.
And
you know,
do you think it's done then? Are you just accepting?
No. I'm not. Like, look, come here. I think there's still a long way to go. And our away games, what are they? You have them written now. Fulham,
so
Everton.
We'll look at the title race here. So for Liverpool, they have Everton away, Fulham away, West Ham away, Spurs at home, Villa away, and Wolves away. Those are five away games.
Four away games.
Yeah. Right.
So the next one is Fulham on Sunday.
Yeah.
I think a lot rests on how we perform on Thursday, because it's going to be very interesting to see what side Klopp puts out, because he put a bit of a weakened side out against Atalanta at home. So that suggests that he probably was a bit confident going into it and kind of underestimated Gasperini and Atalanta. So I think a lot of it hinges on Thursday. I'm not ruling it out. Like, look, if Liverpool were to win on Thursday 3-0 or 4-0, I don't think it'd be the biggest shock ever. But I think if we don't go through, I think the title races, people are like, oh, sure, we'll be out of Europa, can focus on the league. It's too late for that nonsense.
Do you think?
Because you need form in these games, you need rhythm. And I think as much of a hindrance as the Europa League is, you're still playing regularly. You're still playing regular football. And yeah, you could say the rest of the legs is better for the players. I disagree. There's a good squad there for Liverpool. And you could probably, I've seen someone online saying today, like, look, at Liverpool probably shouldn't be where they are because of, you know, squad not being as good as what it was. But when you get this far and you're contesting for that many trophies, it is still upsetting to be finding yourself in this form. It is. And I think anyone who's realist would say that. Is it over? No. But would I fancy Liverpool to come away with more than one trophy this season? Probably not, would be my answer.
Wow.
And that's
would that big be a say. Successful tenure at Liverpool for Klopp if he comes away with just one Premier League title, do you think?
Again, I think a lot of it comes down to circumstance. So yeah, I would, because you're up against Man City side who are probably the best Premier League side ever, who are sneakily, by the way, going for a back-to-back treble, which is unheard of. Which kind of snuck up on me. It kind of hit me like a ton of bricks today that they could win another treble. I was like, for fuck's sake. And look, there's all the talk about the charges against City, yada, yada, yada. I'm not getting into it. To get to your point, yeah, it is definitely successful. It's as successful a tenure as has ever been at Liverpool, to an extent. It's in the modern era, at least, you know?
Yeah. I just think if he's being such a success, I think he should have a bit more to show for it than what he's won, in my opinion.
I'm not disagreeing with you. Yeah. I just think in any other era, he wins more. But it's just, it's Man City's dominance, you know? It's, you can't compete with the Man City squad with the spending, etc. And I'm not getting into it, because I think if it comes out and Man City get charged and they lose all their titles, I don't necessarily want Liverpool to get those titles that they nearly won. Do you get me? Because they didn't win them. They didn't win them. You could say Man City were doping. Yeah, fair enough. But like, we finished second a point off them. We weren't good enough to win the league that season. Man City were. Do you know that kind of way? It's, you have to be realist in these points. And Man City are a superpower, and that's kind of it, really. Do you know, I don't think you can look much further than that.
Right. We'll move into the rest of the title race teams, Adam, very briefly. I want to go through Arsenal with a 2-0 loss at Villa. I'm sure this made you feel a little bit better after the
definitely.
I spoke to Jerry as well, and he was saying the same. So how would you sum this game up? Just I've heard a mix of things. I watched the highlights there, and I've heard that Arsenal didn't show up, full stop.
I got the vibes off this game. Do you remember the Brighton game last year, and Brighton went to the Emirates and won 3-0 or 4-0, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Or 4-1 or whatever. And everyone kind of went, oh, that was over them at that point. I don't think Arsenal could have won the league from that point on. I got big vibes from that. And look, Aston Villa are a very good side, and I think they're leading Lille, aren't they, in the Conference League and such. So they're doing very well for themselves. Unai Emery, really good again. I was happy for him, just given how he was treated at Arsenal. But Villa just played them off the park. And a bit like the Atlanta game. I don't think Arsenal really looked like scoring. There wasn't a point in the game where it was like, oh, Arsenal are going to score here.
Yeah.
And whenever Villa went forward, they looked dangerous. So yeah, it was. I'm not going to sit here and be like complete or domination. It wasn't. But it was very deserving. They definitely deserved to win. And the goals as well were very well taken. I think Arsenal kind of just... I think they might have got caught in the moment, if that makes sense.
Caught in the moment.
I think they...
Sorry, I thought you said caught in the moment.
Oh, no. Yeah,
caught in the moment is Arsenal, 100%.
I think they got caught up in what happened previous to it. And like, at the end of the day, man, these footballers are humans too. They will have seen the Liverpool result and they would have been buoyed by it. But I think they might have been maybe a bit too arrogant. Nick Jackson's on a run here. Never mind.
Adam, by the way, Gabriel Jesus, the worst conversion rate in the league up front for Arsenal. Can he be seen as a successful sign if he has a 7 out of 50 shots on target conversion rate, the worst in the league?
I think...
Is he a flop?
I think he's badly overrated. I wouldn't go as far as say a flop, but... I think this Arsenal side is funny because, like, there's been a lot of money spent on this side. And, like that again, up against Man City and even Liverpool spend to an extent, they've probably spent just as much money, if not more.
Yeah, that's a good point. 500 million, I'd say, over.
And look, at their contender for a title this season again, don't get me wrong. But, like, I was actually saying to one of the lads yesterday, I looked at, like, the Havertz, Zinchenko, Raya in goal. Like, I don't... And look, I could be proven wrong. In 6 weeks' time, they could come up and win a title. I don't see these players as league winners.
Mm.
Do you know? And I know Havertz, look, has scored a goal in Champions League final. Yeah, brilliant. But... I don't know if some of these players are good enough to do it. And I think looking at Jesus is a good point as well. I think Saka as well, when it comes to it, I don't know if he's that real quality player. Like, I would probably prefer Palmer on my side over Saka, for example.
Do you know what it is? I think Arteta's and Arsenal are riding the crest of a wave right now. And they're still riding it to an extent because they were good last year and they're good again this year. Now, whether they can sustain that form or not and keep going for titles is what I'm interested to see. Because if you want to look at Arteta as an upper echelon manager, he needs to go ahead and win something first. And if they come out with
he has won an FA Cup, hasn't he? But I don't think that's sufficient for what's worth. But
if he's to come out for a fourth or fifth season running without a trophy, I think that would be a shocking result for Arsenal, considering the circumstances of how they found themselves in the ascendancy in the title race, bear in mind. I think they were 5 or 6 points ahead at one point.
But last season's the big one. Whatever about this season, last season, like, that was a big one. That was a big bottle job.
Yeah.
Do you know, whatever about this season, I'm not even going to say, I don't think Liverpool or Arsenal have bottled it, to be honest. I just think Man City have gone about their job the way they usually do. And
well, yesterday was a bottle job.
Do you think, though?
Yeah.
Because
two teams playing Palace at home.
Mm.
And Villa at home. Bear in mind, Villa are a good team, don't get me wrong, but they're beatable. And they ahead and flop and lose to them.
I think
when it's literally in their hands, Adam, it's in their hands.
I think the problem with kind of what's happened in the Premier League in recent years is teams are almost having to hit perfection. And again, that comes down to how good Man City are. So that to be better than Man City, you have to be perfect, essentially.
Mm.
And I don't think Liverpool or Arsenal have the minerals to be as perfect as what Man City do. I don't think they can hit that same standard.
But I don't think losing to Palace at home is perfect. Or you need to be perfect to lose to Palace at home or to lose to Villa at home. You don't need to be perfect.
The season Liverpool won the league, Palace beat Man City at home. So I think Palace, in fairness to them, Christian Bull, another example, they have got the minerals to withstand the title charge.
Right.
The Aston Villa one, I think Aston Villa are a great side. I just think that's what it comes down to. Liverpool's one yesterday is much worse than Arsenal's one, for what it's worth, given the circumstance around it with the quality of Aston Villa and I suppose the lack of quality, but the difference in quality between Palace and Liverpool.
Yeah.
You would be expecting Liverpool to win, and they had enough chances to win, and they're their own worst enemy, typically, in scenarios like this, but... The point I'm making is, compared to what it was in years gone by, like Arsenal, for example, last year, that was a big bottle job because they choked, essentially. Yeah. I think there's still a lot of football to be played. So I think it'd be very rash of us to be like, well, they're both out of the title race now. I think Man City will win, don't get me wrong, but I still think it'll go deep into it. I still think we could be here in 3 weeks if we are talking about the title race still. That would be my opinion of it.
Yeah. And it's still all to play for. 6 games to go, Adam. I'm going to get into it. Man City did your usual thing and won 5-1 at Luton. I don't think we need to say less. Say less.
The worst player in Premier League history scored in this game, by the way.
Who?
Daiki Hashioka, own goal. Plays for Luton. Worst player ever in Premier League history.
Is he caught a week?
He's caught it this season. I'm telling you now, I've seen bad players in Premier League. And there's another one who plays for Luton, God bless him. What's his name? Mpanzu, is that his name?
Yeah.
He came up through the ranks. He's not great either. But your man, Hashioka, I have no idea how he's a professional footballer. I know that's very harsh for me to say, and I do apologise to Daiki. But I think every game I've seen him in, I've literally gone, this fella's shite. So, the worst player in the Premier League. I'm sorry.
Straight into one.
No, man. I'm sorry. Well, I'm not really. But
they lost against 5-1. He's dreadful. One player you're laid into.
He's bad, man. He's not good, like. He's very poor. I'm telling you now, man. Look at this. Donny is really bad at football. I'm not lying to you. I wouldn't lie to you. He's terrible at football. And for my money, he's the worst player ever in Premier League history. Give me a player who's worse. Off the top of your head.
I just think it's really funny how you're so obsessed.
Because he's so bad. I'm pretty sure Luton were leading at Anfield the other week. And I'm pretty sure he came on. And we scored like 3 goals like that. This is the type of guy you're dealing with. I'm telling you now, man. I'm not lying to you.
Oh, God. Right. City lost. City beat Luton 5-1, Adam. We'll look at the next 6 games before we move on. I think we'll just very quickly predict the FA Cup and then move on to get it out, because it's been a long evening already. Don't want to drag it out any longer.
When does it end?
Liverpool's next 6, obviously we spoke about it earlier. Everton away, Fulham away, I think the Fulham game's first actually, West Ham away, Spurs at home, Villa away, and I think it's Wolves at home, you said.
Yeah.
Man City's next 6 is Brighton away, Forest away, Wolves at home, Fulham away, Spurs away, and West Ham at home.
Mm-hmm.
And Arsenal have Wolves away, Chelsea at home, Spurs away, Bournemouth at home, Man United away, and Everton at home. I think we can safely say Arsenal have the worst run of fixtures out of the 3. Mm-hmm. Liverpool are probably 2nd, and I think City have the easiest run, which doesn't bode well for the league in general. I think
City's away games are tough.
It's a tough question to structure, Adam, because I don't know. I don't want to ask you how do you think it's going to unfold, because it's 6 games that are unpredictable.
Mm.
But I don't know. Like,
I think we did this before on the podcast in the past few seasons where we predicted them. And I don't know how well it went.
No.
And I think both times, I think we both said City would win the league. I think City will win the league. I don't know how it's going to pan out, but I think City will win the league marginally. I don't think it's going to be by more than 3.
Right.
I'd say it'll be 3 or less, I'll put it that way.
And, yeah, I'm going to say the same. I think that Spurs game is maybe a banana skin for City if they get in a scenario where they're still tight and they have to play their bogey team.
It also depends on the Champions League semi-final. I think you have to... If both of these sides both get through... You can imagine those games are going to be quite intense, and it would take its toll on the squad. And like, from a Liverpool point of view, you're probably like, oh, well, hopefully Liverpool get knocked out of the Europa League, yada, yada, yada. I disagree with that. I want Liverpool to get to the semi-final and then move on from there. But I think Arsenal will probably drop the most points out of them.
Yeah.
But there's a few banana skins there for Liverpool and City as well, I think. The Forest game away and the Brighton game away for City are not necessarily easy games either. And Forest fighting for staying up as well. So there is tough games in there, but I would say, if you're asking me to predict top 3, I'd say City, Liverpool, Arsenal would be how I think it's going
to
finish.
I think I'd say the same at this point. I'd love to predict otherwise, but to be honest with you, that those games for City are very, very favourable. I can't see them dropping points, especially...
And especially this time of the year.
The Forest, Wolves, Fulham, those 3 games... they're coming out with all 9 points there, and then you have the Spurs, West Ham, Brighton. That could be a bit tricky.
But are they away to Wolves, just out of interest?
They're at home to Wolves. That's how the title race will play out, Adam. Very quickly, very briefly, the FA Cup is on this weekend. I suppose we'll chat about it in more detail next week, but we have Chelsea playing Man City in Wembley, and we have Coventry playing Man United in Wembley. I think it's a big day, big weekend for Coventry.
Mm.
And I think this is a real opportunity for Coventry to get into an FA Cup final.
Mm.
The way Man United are so inconsistent, it's impossible to predict. But
what way do you see it pan out?
I think if Coventry show up and Man United don't, I think Coventry win.
I agree. I think, and look, we could be in a position where Man United just wipes forward them. That could very easily happen as well. I think Man United's season hinges on this game big time. I don't know, look, that's probably a stupid thing for me to say, I think if Ten Hag comes out of the second season with a trophy, two trophies, two seasons, given the constraints of the club, and I think they're in dire straits. Mm. It would be very good for him, and it probably keeps him his job for another year, gives him a chance to, I suppose.
What's another year?
puts another squad together, probably does very little, but I think it's a massive game for United. I am going to predict Coventry just to be a bollocks, but
Ellis Sims.
Yeah, but you see Coventry, like, I know we're laughing, but they have a decent team. Like I don't think they're going to be a pushover by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah.
Like, I think
we've seen what they did to Wolves.
And do you know what? There's part of me that wishes, and this probably sounds harsh, because they haven't been in great form in the league. They're, like, I think they're out of promotion playoffs. I don't think they can get that. They're 8 points behind Norwich in sixth, with a game in hand. But I would have loved if it was like Leicester or who's the team up there doing Leeds or Ipswich in the semi-final against United, because I think they'd give them a real, real game. Do you know?
Well, this could be a game. I think this could be a game. So,
Yourselves in Man City.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough game. But I do think Poch has a history of putting it up to Man City.
Mm.
So I'm intrigued. And Poch, to be fair to him, has done well against top six sides this year. in general, putting up games to a lot of them. Arsenal at home, United at home, City away.
At home as well.
City away and at home. I think Liverpool was two draws, was it? Or Liverpool?
Liverpool won 4-2, didn't they?
4-1 in Anfield. 4-1, yeah. Yeah, that was bad. But yeah, for the most part, Pochettino has done quite well against the bigger sides, I suppose you could call them. How derogatory that is.
Is it derogatory?
Well, just call them.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were referring to something else. Never mind. I thought that's what you were about. Derogatory is like, what are you talking about?
But yeah, I think it's going to be a close game anyway.
Yeah,
that's the way I would see it pan now.
Yeah.
And City probably go through in the end. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Chelsea have beaten Man City in the last semi final they played, and then they ended up in the FA Cup. And then they lost to Leicester in the final. I'm going to predict Chelsea to go through.
Wow.
Yeah, I think Man City will have their eye off the ball. I think it's a real opportunity for Chelsea.
Yeah, with
and again, another opportunity at silverware, and a club who's in recent history has been steeped in winning trophies. That's kind of what they do. I know they've been struggling the past few years, but I'm going to go with a Chelsea and Coventry final. That's what I'm going with.
Wow. That'd be something else. If Coventry pull it off, it's embarrassing.
Imagine Coventry beat Chelsea in the final.
Oh God! Right. Oh God. That's our football roundup, Adam.
Thanks be to God, I enjoyed that actually.
We didn't really talk about much. I think that's good though. We didn't talk about the other games. You would have been
There's no need to. Jesus wept. No one's listening to the podcast to hear us talk about fucking Forest losing again. No, they didn't even lose. They drew to all. Show us how much we know. No one's listening to us for that. Sheffield United losing again. Yeah, water's wet. I suppose, Kieran, this calls for... Get it out.
Get it out.
Get it out. Shout out to Alberto Moreno, as always. We're going to start off with a voice note from Phil Mangan. Get your voice notes into the podcast as well, if you so wish.
On our WhatsApp.
On our WhatsApp, well, he's texting my WhatsApp, so it tells him I need to know. Hold on, I'll get it now.
Do you want
to
read out your number there on the bottom?
Absolutely not. Where are we, Phil? There we go.
How will people get in touch, though?
They won't. So Phil says this.
And number three is, can you ask Cran if you remember what we did behind the boxes on the second floor of McGurk's?
So, Cran, what did yourself and Phil Mangan get up to? In the boxes, behind the boxes in McGurk's.
I don't know what he's referring to. he's kind of stumped me with that.
He's trying to under the bus there, Carl.
To be fair, now I do think we did have a rooted tradition of coming in hungover on a Sunday.
Hmm.
And there used to be boxes in this warehouse, obviously. So we used to remove the boxes and jump in the gap and then put the boxes back. And then fall asleep in between the shelves.
Right.
So the boxes would cover us.
actually,
when we're hungover, and
I don't know why you're saying this on the podcast.
Well, this doesn't really affect me at all, does it? Weekend college work. It was football heritage, or yeah, no, yeah. Sorry, heritage in general.
Just heritage, full stop. Yeah. Fuck's sake.
But I think that might be what he's referring to. I don't, maybe something else. I don't know.
Maybe something else. He says, Phil says, how many genders are there? Fucking hell.
Zero.
Right, okay, I'm refraining from answering this.
All
right. Phil says, best places for long walks in Dublin. Are you all right, Phil?
try the whole cliff walk, Phil, and then maybe slip and fall.
The Bray to Greystones walk is a great walk. I think I'd rather do it now with a partner, but it is a nice walk.
Yeah.
For what it's worth. Phil says, who between you two would win in a wrestle match? Me, of course.
I think I'd probably STF you. Yeah, Adam, true, maybe. Do you know the wooden tables in the WWE? I'd love to do that to you.
I'm hoping that yourself and Dave have a wrestling match one day and I can cash in my Money in the Bank contract and beat the shit out of you. Phil says, do you believe there was weapons of mass destruction in Iraq? If so, where have they gone?
It's a funny question, Phil.
Fuck me, man. What was Phil on about this week?
It's a funny question because I don't have the answers.
Yeah.
But I suppose Gilchrist, yes.
Chelsea made it 6-0. Thanks be to fucking Jesus.
It's
gotten us away from answering this question, so I'm very happy.
Proper Chelsea.
Chelsea leads 6-0 against Everton. The Everton away end's empty, by the way, as well.
Hilarious.
Anyone listening? Will you get away from Phil's question?
Yeah.
Gary Vav says, how often do you wash your towels, Kieran?
Gary, why are you asking that? And at such a, I don't know, an inappropriate time, Monday morning.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, I have my towels washed all by the weekend.
I'd say my towels are washed after every use. Is that a mad answer?
I think maybe 14, 15 times, and then throw it in the wash.
Fuck, man. Right, okay.
Dirty bastard. My tail looks like a rag.
Yeah, I was about to say. Yeah. Stop giving me that look. Selen says, shout out to Ben Casey's sister. Shout out to Ben Casey's sister, as always.
Shout out to Ben Casey's sister.
Shout out to Selen's sister as well.
shout out to everyone's sister.
Ben Casey says, for Adzi, night one or two of WrestleMania 40. Night two for me. It was warmer. The first night, we were kind of high up in the stadium and it was fucking bitter. And I just thought the card was more enjoyable on the second night. And obviously the cash in happened. The Undertaker came back.
Mm.
Snoop Dogg was involved. It was night two was actually really good when I put it into context. Ben says, thoughts on Leinster's victory on Saturday? I'm going to leave that with you because I could not care less.
It was a good win. I think they played La Rochelle
La Rochelle in the Eva, yeah.
Yeah. Good win for the Leinster boys. I'm sure Towners was hopping afterwards.
Yeah.
And people had a good time.
Campbell Street in general, I'd say, was full of Leinstertainment. Adam Courtney says, what would your dream job be if that isn't a sports person? It's like an actor, musician, etc. Why? I think you'd be a bit of a musician, wouldn't you?
I'm like singing without singing a song. What do you think, Adam?
What do I think? What job would I want?
Yeah.
I really want to own my own business. I'd love to own a cafe or a bar. A
sports cafe would be great.
Yeah, we were talking about that the other day.
We can't give away our ideas though.
If I had a lot of money, I would make a...
idea.
Thank you. Yeah, I was about to say. I like the idea of having my own business. I'd love an Irish-speaking cafe. Would be my dream job. If it wasn't to do a sport. Yeah, well...
Adzi Leonard 2032 or
whatever. I would have like... Yeah, I'm not getting into it.
You ever seen Back to the Future?
Yeah.
And he goes back to the future, obviously, or back to the past, actually. In the DeLorean.
Yeah.
And
never heard of him.
And your man's like, I'm going to be president one day. And he's working in the
dock.
No. It's another guy. Like,
oh, okay.
He's like, he's working in like the old American diner. He's like, I'm gonna be president one day, and your man starts laughing at him. Mm. And he's, you won't be laughing when I become president. And they go forward 3 years to Marty McFly's 1985, and your man's president, or he's senator or whatever.
Mad.
So,
do you think can happen?
Maybe you should say, I want to open a.
I want to open a Irish speaking cafe or a sports bar.
Yeah.
One dinner. I think Dublin's lacking in both.
Well, we were at the. Sorry to interject again, Adam. I know you want to get on, but we were at the. we were at Doz the weekend.
Yeah, Doz Masters. Shout out to Pedro Pascal.
And I feel like.
So much potential in that bar.
So much potential, but they don't turn it into sports bar, which is mad. But I do agree with that point. Anyway,
the 90s music promos.
I don't want to talk bad of ill of too many people that might come after me. You know?
Yeah, you've done that a bit today, haven't you? Ian says, and you can answer this question because I have no idea.
Oh, nice.
Thoughts on the Drake Kendrick Lamar beef.
Now I thought that I'm very disappointed first of all from Ian's question because I thought it would be a history based question.
Yeah, there's none of that this week.
No form from Ian. Very poor to see.
Mm.
It's sort of like Liverpool at home.
As of late, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, that's it. I don't even know what the beef is.
I
assumed you would know the beef.
I was expecting a history based question.
I thought you'd know the beef. That's why I was leaving it to you.
I'm giving you a handle. I don't want to hear about the beef.
Ian says, favourite type of footballer, i.e. a ball playing six, a strong eight?
Connor Salmon.
No, but like, what's your favourite type of footballer?
I think
a skillful Brazilian.
A big number nine.
Yeah,
Olivier Giroud would be one of my favourite players of all time.
Right, I had this conversation with Dave yesterday as Jean-Philippe Mateta was doing a number in Liverpool. My favourite type of footballer of all time is a large centre forward who can pass the ball. So right. Giroud is a good example. I think Mateta to a lower standard is a good example.
Haaland maybe.
Haaland can't play the ball.
Hmm.
Roy Keane said he was a League 2 standard. I think that's a bit harsh. Zlatan Ibrahimovic. The list is long.
I'm trying to think. Didier was one of them as well.
Mm. No, but I mean like a big, like a large.
A large guy.
Yeah, like Giroud.
Are we talking about... I'm trying to think. Vlahovic, maybe. Something like that.
Maybe, yeah. To an extent, yeah. Beto, who's about to score now. Oh, he nearly did as well. Oh, my gosh. But, yeah, a tall striker. We could probably do a whole podcast on this, to be fair. Because I love questions like this. Like, who's your favourite type of left-footed central midfielder? Stuff like that. I love bollocks like that. Dan Lavin, shout out to Dan over in was he Calgary or Alberta or something?
I believe so. Near enough, Alberta. Yeah, I think is where he is.
He says, "Which one of you would make the better FAI CEO?" Me.
Now I'd like to interject there, Adam. I think I'd make the better.
Tell me CEO. Why.
I have more. I tend to I think carry myself better in a role of such stature.
Right.
Give me
an example.
I would rehire John Delaney.
Do you know what, man? There's been rumours about that.
I'd bring him back.
Fuck off.
And tell you who I'd bring back as well.
Bertie
as like a second hand man.
Yeah. I'd be into that. That could be me and you.
Now people chat ill about these two men, but during the Celtic Tiger, they weren't chatting ill about them then.
Yeah, they were putting money in their back
pocket. Many men wish death upon me. Bloody my eyes, dog, and I can't see.
Alton says...
Ridiculous, isn't it?
Does part of football die inside you when your favourite player retires?
I never want him to retire.
Yeah. Kieran's pointing at Cole Palmer.
Mm.
Oh,
it does, though, doesn't it? A little bit.
I think it makes you feel old. That would be my thing.
Yeah. Another generation gone. Imagine Cole Palmer retiring. That'd be like wild.
Like the generation of our players, like the Gerrard, Lampard,
Hazard,
Xavi, like these are now managers. And I don't know about you, but you do kind of feel old.
Oh, you do, yeah. You know, like, but how old do they feel? That's my question.
No, but like they also have a lot of money, so I wouldn't say too old. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, the answer probably is yes.
Money can't buy you love,
Definitely can.
Alden says, would you rather do the elbow flip or Sturridge celebration every time you start a conversation? The flip seems like a lot of effort.
Yeah, the Sturridge one would be like fun, but the flip, you'd be doing your back in a few times.
Yeah. I'm going Sturridge. Who would you prefer in front as well, Prime, Elba or Sturridge?
Sturridge. Yeah. Elba was shit.
Yeah. He didn't have a good time in England. He's having a bit of a renaissance in Marseille, which is quite poetic considering renaissance is a French word, I believe, isn't it? Mm. Alton, last question of the podcast says, would you rather work as a vegan in a butcher's or fully colourblind in a paint shop?
Vegan in the butcher's.
Fucking hell, that's
fully colourblind in a paint shop.
That's not an easy one.
Vegan in a butcher's, surely.
Why?
Well, I think you'd be like, I don't know, you'd be doing something good because you'd be steering people away from eating meat. So to speak, because you'd be like the vendor of vegan delicacies, and you'd be like, "Oh, try this; it's vegan," and then they people might stop eating meat as a result. Mm. I don't know. You'd be doing like a good date. Just trying to get where I'm coming from.
No, not necessarily, because you still have to do your job. I'm just looking here, by the way. Everything 8 point deduction this season, but was 10, wasn't it? And then I got 4 back, and then 2 again. It's what a bad season for everything.
Minus 6 goal difference after this.
Like if you're a surely if you're you wouldn't work in a butcher's if you're a vegan, no more than you would if you're colourblind in a paint shop, but being vegan goes against your beliefs of meat.
What if you were a blind vegan butcher?
You'd be pretty fucked. Colourblind vegan butcher,
yeah,
you'd be fairly fucked now. Yeah, colourblind. Like not in a good way, like it's, you know, I would say I would rather be colourblind than a paint shop. I don't think the idea of working in the butcher's doesn't really appeal to me. Like full stop. I like my meat cut up and
would you rather be blind or vegan? I think that's the question we're leaning into.
Oh. Oh yeah, when you strip it back like that. Colourblind. I think colourblind people.
No, blind.
No. It's colourblind. Yeah, sure, you wouldn't be able to be fucking blind working.
No, but in would you rather be blind or a vegan, full stop? As in, well, not
if you're blind, like I was gonna say, do you know what you're eating? Obviously, you do. Like, when a vegan is a conscious decision, I don't think blind people have much control over their ability to see. Would I be right in saying that?
I disagree. I think they could learn to see if they try it hard enough.
That's just impossible. Like, I would rather be colorblind than vegan. Because vegans are annoying. You know?
I know. Well, obviously, you'd rather be colourblind. Would you rather be blind? Did you not
go vegan for a week at one point?
I did, yeah. It was fun.
The old days of Life of Cran. Bring it back.
Yeah.
But enthusiasm.
You're not answering my question, though.
I'd rather be colourblind.
No, but blind or vegan?
No, I'd rather be neither. You were making another question out of this question. I'm going colourblind over vegan.
It's a farce.
It is, but this is the podcast that we're doing, isn't it? And have been for so many years. Thanks for everyone for joining this week. As ever, we appreciate
bring back the Bertie Ball.
Fan support.
Bring back John Delaney.
And we'll leave it there.
We might win some football matches.
We'll leave it there, so.